Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins now a sugya about what may or we may not serve or allow a katan to do when it involves doing something which is an aveira. What are our obligations to not to prevent them from doing, etc. Says the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak Babisna Irchus Olei Maftecha Debei Medrasha Bishus Harabim. Rav Yitzchak Babisna lost the keys to the Beis Medrash in Rishus Harabim Bishapsa. This took place on Shabbos, where of course, when they are found, we may not carry them. So he wanted to be able to carry them in order to be able to open up the Beis Medrash. Osla Kamei de Rabdas, he came to Rabdas and asked him, what may he do? Amalei, so Rabbi Das told him, Zil Dvar Tali Vitalia, go bring to the spot a boy and a girl, a young boy and a young girl, Vitala Hasam, and let them walk, let them play there, let them wander there, the Mishkeche Lai, and if they'll find the keys, Maisilhu, they will be able to bring them. Alma, obviously, Rabbi Das giving this advice, Kesavar is of the opinion that Katan Oichel Nevelis, so we see a child doing something that he's not supposed to do, Ein Bezdin Mitzuvim LaFrishoy, it is not the obligation of Bezdin to stop him. Because if it was their obligation to stop him, if this boy and girl would be carrying the keys, we would have the obligation to stop them. And the fact that that wasn't the consideration is an indication that the halacha is that we do not have to stop them. The Achronim discuss this question. What is pshat when the Gemara says if Beis Din does or doesn't have an obligation to stop a child from doing something wrong? The question is, how do we understand, the Avni Nezer discusses this, the exemption that a katan has from mitzvahs and averus? Is the pshat, suggests Avni Nezer, that a katan, the punishments for doing an aveira, that doesn't apply to a katan and a ketana. But it's not to mean, perhaps, that they're not allowed to do aveiras, or that they're not obligated to do mitzvahs. It just means that the punishment that one receives for violating an aveira doesn't apply to them. Or is pshat, perhaps, says Avni Nezer, that a katan and a ketana are not obligated at all. They're not obligated. The mitzvahs, the averus, weren't said to katan and ketana. And the nafka mina would be the case that we are discussing. The case where the katan and ketana were carrying something on Shabbos, do we have an obligation to stop them? If we say that they're exempt from averus, so then we don't have a problem, we're allowed to carry it. We're allowed to let them carry it. If, on the other hand, what the Torah means to say is they're exempt from punishment, then the halacha is that we should still not let, but they still may not do it, we shouldn't have allowed them to carry it. Why did he have to ask the Chasam Sofer, have two people carry it? Why do you have to have a boy and a girl? If the basis of this Gemara is that if we see a katan or ketana doing something to Navera, we're not obligated to stop them. If that's indeed the case, so we don't need two. One would be enough. So the Chasam Sofer points out that even according to the opinion that we don't have to stop a katan or a ketana from doing an aveira, there is no question that it's better that they shouldn't do an aveira. And when we have two people doing something, the halacha is that shnayim shesua, whenever something is done by two, it's not an aveira. So that's why he wanted to have it carried perhaps by two people rather than one person, because then it will be shnayim shesua, which is of course which involves much less of a chilul Shabbos. But the Aruch HaNer asks, the Torah Kedoshah says when it speaks about Shabbos, Lo'sasa kamalocha ato vincha vitecha avdech v'amoscha v'amtecha. So the Torah is telling us that we're not allowed to allow anyone to do in a Chilul Shabbos. So how could we suggest, how could Rebbe Das give this suggestion? And the Aruch HaNer points out that even though the Pasuk says, "Ubinchu bitecha," so we would perhaps say that this halacha only applies to one's own children, not to children that are not your own. And here we were presumably speaking about that the boy and the girl that were brought were not his children. Says the Aruch HaNer that that's incorrect. The halacha is when the Torah says "Bincho bitecha," it's not limited to your own children. "Bincho bitecha" includes anyone, any boy or girl, are not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So the question is, if anyone is not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, how could, if he suggested that they should ask this boy and girl, set up a situation where this boy and girl should carry the keys? So the Aruch HaNer says that the pasuk says that we're not allowed to have even young boys or girls do Chilul Shabbos. But that's only, he says, if they're doing the Chilul Shabbos on our behalf. But if the Chilul Shabbos that they're doing is not on behalf of a gadol, says the Aruch HaNer, that's not what's included in the pasuk. And we're going to have to explain that here they were carrying it on their own behalf, or once the halacha doesn't prevent them from doing something which is only for my behalf, similarly, I don't have to stop them from doing an avera. The Mefarshim explained this pasuk that what's very important to realize is that a person is obligated to be mechanech, to properly raise and educate his child. And that's what this Gemara means. The Chachamim didn't know how to bring up the children properly. So Rebbe Das gave him the advice. The way to bring up our children properly, that we shouldn't lose the keys of the Beis HaMedrash, is to bring the children to a place where they will find the Beis HaMedrash. We have to raise our children in a way that our children will want to come to the Beis HaMedrash. And by bringing our children to the Beis HaMedrash, giving them the keys of the Beis HaMedrash, we will succeed in bringing up children that will indeed grow up to be the way we want them to be. So our Gemara just proved that a katan, oichel nevelis, if a katan is doing something inappropriate, ein bezdem tzum lafrishay. Says the Gemara, lema mesayle, we could bring a rye to this point. L'yayma adam latinak, a person is not allowed to tell a child on Shabbos, havali tinach, havali maftech, carry for me a key, chaysim, or carry me for me something that I need, ella, he should leave him. Menichai Tailish, he allows him, if he pulls up something from the ground, Menichai Zarek, we allow him to carry. But he's not allowed to tell him to do something. So all the Rishonim ask a question. Let's review this piece of Gemara. First, the Gemara says that one is not allowed to tell a child to carry something on Shabbos. And then the Braisa continues, but we're allowed to allow him to pull something out of the ground to throw something. Why does the Braisa change the case, the halacha that we're speaking about? So the Rashba explains that the Braisa is telling us that even in a case where I tell a child, Haveli, bring me something, it's not necessarily going to be a case where the child will violate an issa deraisa, because the halacha is that if somebody carries something, pachas mi'aba amis, carrying it less than dalar amis at a time, or as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, if he did not have intention to carry it from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus Rabbim, many different exemption where the halacha is that it's not really considered carrying midaraisa. Still, if I tell him to do something which can be an issa deraisa, the halacha is a parent is not allowed to tell a child to do something which can be an issa deraisa. But on the other hand, in the case of menichai toilish and menichai zayrik, there he's actually certainly doing an issa deraisa. So we would think in a case where he's actually doing an issa deraisa, I have to stop him. Teaches us the Tana that
that as much as we're not allowed to tell him to do something wrong, even in a case where it's not necessarily going to be a case where he will do something wrong, that's one side. On the other hand, when we're not telling him to do something, the halacha is we don't have to stop him. When we're not telling him to do something, we don't have to stop him, even when what he's doing is certainly an issa d'oraisa.
Tashma, Amar Abaye. So I asked the Abaye. So it says, isn't this a raya that if we see a cotton doing something wrong, we don't have to stop him? Says Abaye, it's not necessarily a raya, because Amar Abaye, here we're talking about a case that toilish batzeshen enokif, where he's pulling something out from an atzeshen enokif. So the isser of pulling something from a flower pot is only an isser derabbanan. Zoyrik is talking about a case where he's throwing something in a karmelis. We're throwing something in a karmelis as well is only an isser derabbanan. But in a case of a deraisa, we don't have a raya that in the case of a deraisa, we're allowed not to say anything to the child. Tashma. So the Gemara brings a raya from a different halacha. The halacha is, over kacham shabal lichvitz, if chas v'sholem, a fire broke out in Shabbos, over kacham shabal lichabes, if over kacham comes to extinguish the fire, ein omer lo kabei, we're not allowed to explicitly tell him to extinguish the fire, but we're not obligated to tell him that he may not extinguish the fire. We don't have any responsibility to stop a guy from doing malacha, and therefore he could do whatever he does. Rashi Masechta Shabbos explains that this Gemara is referring to a situation where it's a malacha, where it's the Jew's fire. It's a fire in the Jew's property. The word to be a fire in the Akam's property, certainly we could even tell him to do whatever he has to do. On the other hand, continues that Raisa, Katna Bal Chabos, if a cotton comes to extinguish a fire, Oimimloi, we explicitly tell him, Al Techabim. As we explained before, the father has a responsibility to make sure his cotton doesn't do averus. Now here, in this case, it's preventing a child from doing malacha. And yet we clearly see that we have to stop the child from doing malacha. The Rashba discusses that we just learned that even if we're going to hold that we have to stop a child from doing malacha, it's only by a malacha deraisa. And here, presumably, asked the Rashba, it's a malacha derabbanan, because it's a malacha shena tzrich legufa. So because of this question, the Rashba says that we have to explain that this braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that holds that a malacha shena tzrich legufa is considered a full-fledged malacha. Says the Gemara, so isn't that a raya that we have to stop a cotton from doing an avera? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that is not really a raya, because the Gemara there is referring to a case of his. He's doing it at his father's. He knows his father wants this, and since he knows that this is what his father wants, it's considered as if his father told him to do this. The machlokes rishonim, what is included in the case of oisal das aviv? Some rishonim say that oisal das aviv means that the father made the cotton aware that this is what he wants. But the Beis Yosef says it doesn't have to be that the father showed and said that this is what I want. Even if that's not what the father said. But if it's obvious that that's what the father wants, and clearly that's what the father wants if Chas V'Sholem there's a fire, that's why it's considered as if the father told him to do it. And therefore, says the Rashba, going back to the case that the Gemara keeps on referring to about giving a child non-kosher food, even if the father did not actually give the child the non-kosher food, is not actually feeding him the non-kosher food, but we see that this is what the father wants, that's included in the case of giving a child isser, and it would be usser. The Taz disagrees, the Prima Gadim says that the Taz's opinion is that
It's only considered as if you're actually doing the Aveira when you're actually doing the Aveira. But if it's not actually doing the Aveira, then it's not considered, if you're not actually feeding it to him, then it's not considered that you're giving it to him. The Kavasa says the Gemara, so we're explaining that that price by the fire on Shabbos Rachman Slon is in a case where it's obvious that this is what the owner, the Jewish owner, wants. Ask the Gemara, if that's going to be the case, if an Akum is doing something clearly at the request or at the satisfaction of a Jew, Mishori, yet the Braisa began by saying that that would be Mutter if it was an Akum. Answers the Gemara, anything that the Akum is doing, he's not doing it because it's the Jew's request. The Akum is doing it because he's considering all the benefit that he's going to get for having done this, the personal benefit that he will receive. The Jew is going to give him a reward. The Jew will owe him for what he did. A child, on the other hand, doesn't have that type of sophistication to recognize that that's why it's being done. He does it because he wants to get, because that's what his father told him to do, and that's why the child and the Akum are not the same. Toshma, ben chaver shiragel eidlich etzel avi imay amaritz. If there's the son of a chaver we know is an individual who's careful in all the halachos of trumas and maisris, and he has a grandmother who's an amaritz, and we ain't mechashin. We need not be concerned. Shemi yechilenu dvarim sheinu musukanim. Maybe his grandfather will give him something that eat that his parents don't want him to eat. Matzah b'yad peiris. If the father finds peiris that his son is carrying, ain't zakek loy. That we don't have to stop him. We don't have to worry. So we see clearly that as long as we're not giving the child something that he's not supposed to eat, we need not be concerned. Answers the Gemara. There we're talking about the Mai. Amar Rav Yochanan with the Mai Kilu. The halacha is that any produce that we buy from our Ma'aretz, we have to take off our own Trumas and Maisris. And the reason we have to take off our own Trumas and Maisris is because they were concerned that the Amaratzim did not take off the Trumas and Maisris by themselves. But this is a special lenience, this is a special chumrah. And throughout Shas, we have a rule that the Demaya Kilu, that Chazal were limited, the Chazal were more lenient when it comes to Demai, and that's why we're lenient here. So Taisus, the very Maskal Omar, asked the question, why did the Gemara have to give a Teretz that it's Demai? Even if it's not Demai, why don't we say that we're talking about Truma Derabbanan, and as we've been learning throughout the Shir, that even if we have to be strict in what we allow or don't allow a Katan to do, where it's an Issa Derabbanan, we're more lenient. So Taisus answers, the Gemara could have said that Teretz, but the Gemara used the Teretz of Demai Kilu, because very often in Shas, that's when the Gemara discusses Demai, the Gemara says Demai Kilu. Another teretz that Taisus suggests is that since this may be Tevel D'Oraisa, and by Tevel D'Oraisa, maybe we ought to be Machmer, that's why the Gemara teaches us there's a new halacha of B'demai Hekilu. And Rav Chanan in the Kovetz Ha'aretz explains the two terutzim of Taisus really depend on what is pshat in the Takana and the Gzeira that Chazal said about the Mai. Is it that it's just a chash? It's just a sofik drabonon? Because roiva ma'atzim ma'asrun hain, and therefore the Mai is only a sofik drabonon, and therefore Tosus in his first teretz says that that's the teretz the Gemara could have given, that this is only a drabonon. Or, Tosus, or Rabbi Chanan suggests, that the Mai is a new Takana. And Demai is a rule that Chazal said that whenever you buy payers from an Amoritz, you have to take off Demai. Not because it's a Sufik, it's a new rule. If that's the case, we can't use a concept that this is a Derabbanan, and that's why we're going to be lenient. And that's why the Gemara said that even though it's a new rule, and it's not connected to an issa d'rabbanan, but there's another hand, the rule of b'demaya kilu. Ask the Gemara. So what we're saying now is, tama, the reason we're being lenient here, demai, because it's demai. Havadai, what, were it for sure, where we knew the cotton was carrying something, fruit, produce, for which truma maiser was not removed by Lesure, we would have to take off maiser. Says the Gemara, v'ayam Rabbi Yochanan, b'yisal das aviv. That Rabbi Yochanan said the only time we have to prevent the cotton from doing something wrong is when he's doing it at his father's request, or as we discussed perhaps, at his father's satisfaction. Here, it's not his father's request or his father's satisfaction. So why would he stop him? Why would he have to stop him, according to Rabbi Yochanan? Says the Gemara, because of this question, suggests the Gemara a whole new approach. Till now, we've been learning the Rabbi Yochanan opinion is that we may not ask a katan to do an Aveira, but we don't have to stop him from doing an Aveira. Says now the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan svuki misapkele. Rabbi Yochanan is not actually certain. Kai hacha, when we wanted to bring a raya from the case that we're not allowed to stop, where we're not allowed to allow the child to extinguish the fire, matchi, he says it's not a raya because there it's al das aviv. Kai hachi, and we want to bring a raya from here that the child, we don't have to stop him, we say it's also not a raya because matchi, because we say that it's v'demai, and b'demai hikilu, and therefore we don't have a clear proof. The Rishonim point out that here we're speaking about when are we obligated to stop a child from doing an Aveira, when are we not obligated, what may we allow him to do, what may he allow to do. But the Rishonim point out, Tosfos Rishonim and other Rishonim point out that this has nothing to do with the other element that has not been discussed in our Gemara. And that is the element of chinuch. And therefore, the Rambam says that chinuch is only an obligation on a parent, but no one else. And therefore, says the Rambam, it could be that there's a different halacha when we speak about the father vis-a-vis all of these situations and everyone else. There are Rishonim that disagree. And there are Rishonim that say that not only does the father have the obligation in chinuch, but part of what we keep on speaking about Bezdin, the halacha is, even on the Bezdin is there a chiyuv of chinuch. Furthermore, there's an interesting Rashba. The Rashba wants to differentiate between mitzvah sasei and mitzvah lo sasei. And he says that the Al Gemara, all of the cases in Al Gemara are referring to situations where it's a mitzvah lo sasei. And by mitzvah lo sasei, the obligation of chinuch is much less. But when it's a mitzvah sasei, which is a very interesting Rashba, because we know the punishment for an Aveira is much more serious than the punishment for not doing a mitzvah. But the Rashba says that the chiyuv of chinuch is much more by a mitzvah sasei than by a mitzvah lo sasei. The Shulchan Aruch, however, the Rambam doesn't make any such differentiation, and the Shulchan Aruch says, in the Shulchan Aruch also, paskins like the Rambam, that the chiyuv chinuch, which is a separate chiyuv from what we're discussing in our shir, applies both to mitzvah sasei and mitzvah lo sasei. Moreover, as we're going to begin soon discussing in our shir, says the Rama, even if we're going to be lenient, and even if we're going to be lenient from the chinuch aspect, says the Rama, that when it comes to eating something which is not kosher, there we have to be much stricter. Because a child who absorbs non-kosher food into his system, that has a negative impact on his status, on his ruchnius position, and therefore, in such a situation, the Rama says, we have to be much more careful. Tashma, ben chaver koyin, the son of a koyin, who's makban and trumas amaisis, shirag alelech etzel avi imay koyin amaretz. He goes to his grandparents who are amaretz. Ein cheshin, we need not be concerned, shemi yechlenu trumatameya. That maybe his grandparents served him truma tamei, which of course we know one may not consume. Matzah b'yadei peiris, if we find peiris that he is carrying, and a zakuk, we need not be concerned that maybe they're truma tamei. But why? If we're worried about, if we have to stop a cotton from eating anything which is not kosher, why shouldn't we have to do so here? And says the Gemara, here we're talking about Trumah d'Rabbanan, and since it's only Trumah d'Rabbanan, we're lenient like we learned throughout our shir. And as the Rishonim point out, Trumah d'Rabbanan could be one of two situations. It could be Trumah b'zman hazeh, which Trumah b'zman hazeh, according to most Rishonim, is only d'Rabbanan, or there's some Rishonim that say only Dagon tirash v'yitzer, grain, olives, and grapes have a chiyuv of truma deraisa. And here we're talking about truma from other produce that don't have a chiyuv deraisa. Tashma, yonik tinik v'hoylech ma'ev kachavim, a child can nurse from a non-Jewish woman, and we behem a tamei from a non-kosher animal, and we don't, we're not concerned as if he's eating something not kosher. On the other hand, we're not allowed to feed a child non-kosher food. And when a child, from an animal that's not kosher, a child can nurse on Shabbos, a field of Shabbos, but an adult may not nurse from an animal on Shabbos. On Yontif, they were lenient to allow nursing from an animal on Yontif, a kosher animal. Ketanim miya, but this Bryce is said explicitly, when the Jewish child is nursing from the non-kosher animal, ein chashim b'yonik shekets, we're not concerned that he's eating something non-kosher. So we see clearly from here that we're not obligated to stop a child from eating something non-kosher. Answers the Gemara, we can't bring a raya from that Bryce. Because Hossam, that Bryce is referring to a situation of sakana. It's a sakana, the child is sakana, and since the child is in danger, we could be more lenient. Ask the Gemara if we're talking about a shah sakana, and of course we know whenever it's a situation of sakana snafashis, we're lenient, ihachi, so godl nami, we should be lenient by an adult as well. Says the Gemara, godl bay umdana. When we speak about an adult, he first has to be evaluated if it's absolutely necessary. Only after we're able to determine that it's absolutely necessary can we allow it. By cotton, we don't have to do so. Ask the Gemara, but why not? Cotton nami lebay umdana. If the halacha is that we're not allowed to allow a child to eat non-kosher food, and we're only lenient in a situation of sakonis nefashis, so just like by an adult, we have to first determine, is it sakonis nefashis or not? So too by cotton, shouldn't we have to make that determination first? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rishua, Stam tinik mechut sukkah neitzacholav. We can't compare the situation of a child and an adult. A child, we have to assume, is in a situation of sakana if he doesn't have milk. And that's why we could be lenient. By an adult, that is not the consideration. So we see from here, the Gemara says the Rashba, Yonik Tinik V'Hoyuk V'Avaris Kechavim, that the Loch, and that we explained just now, that the only reason we're lenient is because it's a Shah Sakana. We see from here that under normal circumstances, one may not allow the child to nurse from a non-Jewish woman, because she eats non-kosher food, and that non-kosher food will have a negative effect on the child. The Rashba himself actually disagrees. And the Rashba himself says that the milk of a non-Jewish woman is not to be considered the same as non-kosher. And the halacha is that any milk from a human being may be consumed by a human being, and it's not considered non-kosher. But clearly, there is a midas chassidus that one should not allow the child to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. And the reason is that one is very much influenced by who they are by the food that they eat. And since the non-Jewish woman eats non-kosher food, that will have a real effect on who this child will be if we allow him to nurse from such a woman. And as Rashi in Masechta Sota and the Ritva say, because the non-kosher food has a spiritually harmful effect on the child. And therefore, says the Netziv, that if this non-Jewish woman lives in a home of Jews, and she only eats kosher food, then we could be more lenient. The Shulchan Aruch says, like the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rashba, that all human milk is kosher. But says the Ramah that if Jewish milk is available, one should not allow his child to nurse from a non-Jewish woman because, as we just learned, the negative impact of the non-kosher milk, that the non-kosher food that will have in him. The Gross says that the raya to this, that this is what one should be careful with, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara teaches us, in Masechta Sota, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, that Moshe Rabbeinu, as an infant in Paroi's palace, did not refuse to nurse from the Egyptian women. Says the Gemara, because Moshe Rabbeinu, who was ultimately the one that was going to speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should not be nursed and should not be fed from somebody who is somebody who eats non-kosher food. In fact, the Shach makes a very interesting point. He says that if there's a Jewish woman that because of whatever medical situation there is obligated to eat non-kosher food, such a woman, says the Shach, should not be a woman to nurse a Jewish child. Because as we're learning now, there is a very negative effect of non-kosher food on the development of a Jewish child. And since there's such a negative effect, even though the mother is Jewish, and even though she's allowed to eat the non-kosher food, the halacha is she should not be the one to nurse a Jewish child. The Ramah says, for the same reason, even though we're learning throughout our shir what we may or may not allow a katan to do or not do, says the Ramah, when it comes to machol sasuris, when it comes to non-kosher food, we have to be particularly sensitive not to allow a Jewish child to eat non-kosher food. And furthermore, I saw a beautiful pshat. The Gross says that the raya is from Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not eat non-kosher, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not nurse from the Egyptian women, so he shouldn't come to eat something that's not kosher. So many Mefarshim ask, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the individual who ultimately is going to speak directly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, him, we have to be very careful. But what does that have to do with everyone else? That not every Jewish child is a Moshe Rabbeinu. So why do we have to be careful? So I saw that the Mefarshim say a beautiful, beautiful pshat. And that is, every Jewish child has the potential of being a Moshe Rabbeinu. And since every Jewish child has the potential of being Moshe Rabbeinu, so just like, of course, since Moshe Rabbeinu was ultimately going to be Moshe Rabbeinu, we, of course, could never have that he was nursing or eating non-kosher food, every Jewish child should be viewed that way. And therefore, every Jewish child should avoid eating non-kosher food. Abishol Leimer, Noyagim Hayinu, we allowed that they could nurse from a kosher animal on Yontif. Ask them Hechidomi, exactly what situation was Abishol addressing? If it's a situation of Sakonas Nefoshes, then I feel B'Shabbos Nami. As we keep on repeating, when it's a situation of Sakonas Nefoshes, everything is permitted. V'Delekes Sakona, and if there's no Sakona, then the Halacha ought to be I feel B'Yontif Osir. Answers the Gemara, L'tricha, is referring to a situation, Dikit Sara. A person is hurting. He doesn't have what to drink. The kesavar, and Abba Shaul's opinion is that nursing directly from an animal is mefar klachiyad. Shabbos, that if somebody violates chil Shabbos b'mezid, there's a chiv skila. That's why Chazal gozer rabbanon and Chazal did not allow it. Again, we're not talking about sakonis nefashis. However, the isser of doing melacha on yontiv is not as severe. Yontiv is an isalav. Since yontiv is an only an isalav, like gozru rabbanon, Chazal were not so strict and they were more lenient. There are many different approaches amongst the rishonim. What exactly is the isser of nursing from an animal on yontiv? Just to mention some of them, Rashi in Masechta Shabbos says it's koitzer. Rabbeinu Tam says it's memachek. Another opinion, Rabbeinu Tam suggests it's boirer, goizes. These are various different reasons. These are different isurim that the Rishonim debate what is involved in nursing on yontiv. Tashma, the pasuk says, regarding the Isser of Ichil Sheretz. The Pasuk says, Loi Soichlum Kishaketheim. Now we know that there are no Nekudas in the Torah. So the Gemara says, we shouldn't pronounce the word necessarily as Loi Soichlum, Loi Sachilum. We learn from here, Lahazar Agdolim Al Tanim, that the adults, Mailav, Damal Loi Soichlum, that the adults have to make sure that the child should not eat something that's Osir. So isn't this a ride that we have to not just not feed them something also, but we have to prevent them? So it's not necessarily the case. Loi, what we're referring to here is the loi lispulu b'yadayim. We're not allowed to feed them something also, but doesn't mean that we necessarily have to stop them. Toshma, the pasuk says, kol nefesh mechem loi soichel dam. And says the Gemara, and the Gemara again says, the Torah many times already taught us that one may not eat dam. Why was the Torah repeat this halacha? Lahazah g'dayla malaktanim, that my love, dar malay seichlu, that adults have to stop children from eating blood. Again, says Mar, it's not necessarily the case. It means loy lispul of yadayim, we're not allowed to feed them dam. Tema, toshma, the pasuk says, at the beginning of Parashas Emor, Emor al kahan b'nei Aaron, v'mat aleim l'nefesh l'yitam b'amav, a koyin is not allowed to become tamei tamei meis. And the pasuk continues, "Vamat aleim lahazig doilim alaktanim." My love, that a kohen has to prevent his child from becoming tamei. Says the Marloi, that again is not necessarily the proof. Loi, the loi lip will be dying. We're not allowed to actively make our children tamei. So the question, of course, is, why does the Torah have to teach us the same halacha about parents and children three different times? Says the Gemara. Trichi. The Ashvin and Shkotzim, if the Torah had only taught us this halacha by Shkotzim, Mishum the Isser Mashu. The Isser of Shkotzim is a Isser Mashu, even the smallest amount. And of course, the Rishonim point out that's not true. The Shir is a Kadasha. But a Kadasha is much less than a Kazayas. Aval Dam, when we speak about Dam, that the Shir is Ad the Ikarvius, which again is a big subject of discussion amongst the Rishonim, because many Rishonim say that actually the shear is a kazayas, but by a liquid it's a revius, a maloi. V'yesh min adam, shum deke karis. There's a chiv karis when somebody eats dam. Ava shrotzim, when we speak about shrotzim, there is no issa karis, a maloi. V'yesh min ahani tarti, shum de surin shav b'kol. Everyone is not allowed to eat dam. Everyone has to be careful with not eating shrotzim. Ava tome a maloi. V'yashmin ha-tumah, tumah is only applicable to kahanim. V'yashmin ha-tumah, kahanim, shani, mishum deriba mem mitzvah yisaris. Maybe the Torah is stricter by kahanim, because we see that the Torah is always more careful with kahanim. Avahani, these other halachas that aren't specifically spoken to kahanim, eim aloi, that's why tzricha, we have to have a pasuk by all of them. So here we have the pasuk, ema v'mata. And as the Gur Aryeh says, that normally the Torah, when it addresses, it says, Daba b'nei Yisrael v'mat aleim. And Daba b'nei Yisrael v'mat aleim means, first the Torah is telling us a general rule, and then the Torah goes into the details. But here, we find that the Torah uses the exact same word, Emma v'amarta, must be coming to teach us something. The Naim HaLemelech says, Emma Amart has come to teach us that how one is supposed to give Musr, how one is supposed to inspire other people, explains the Naim HaLemelech. If we're going to go to a specific individual who we see is perhaps doing something that he shouldn't be doing, and we tell him what you're doing is inappropriate, that will turn him off. What we should do, suggests the Naim HaLemelech, is Emor. We should first speak to the person in a general fashion. We should say it Emor, that we should say a speech that speaks to everyone. After we say something that speaks to everyone, he will pick up that Vamarta, that was speaking to him, and that he has to do better. And that's the way the Torah says, L'hazik doyel maktanim, that's the way we will be successful in inspiring people. The Teres Yeshua has a different pshat. Pshat is that the people that think that they're very great people and that they don't have to be worried about what everybody else has to be worried about. Says the Torah, Emor Vamarta, that the Torah was not just said to great people, but Vamarta, to every one of us. No matter who we are, we have to think about what are we doing and are we doing what's right. And the final pshat that I saw for Ramosha. Ramosha in the Sefer Drash Moshe says that the pasuk here is teaching us how we're supposed to be mechanech, how we're supposed to train our children. And Ramosha says what the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us is that the way we inspire our children is not by speeches. The way we inspire our children is by acts. We do the right thing, when we do mitzvahs the proper way, when we avoid averus, that's the way we inspire our children. And that's what he says. Emor Vamarta. It's not just enough that Emor we should speak. Vamarta, we should show by example how we live. And then Ramosha goes on to say something that he often discusses. He says, even when we speak, the Torah is teaching us how should one speak to his children to inspire them to do what's right. If one teaches his children, you're obligated to do this, or it's also for you to do this, not because I really believe in it, or not because I really am happy about acting that way, it's just I want to do what the Torah says, that is not going to be the way we inspire our children. Emor, the Torah says we should speak to our children, lahazik gedol malaktanim, v'amarta. But we have to think about the way we speak to our children. Are we speaking to our children in a way to show them the beauty of mitzvahs? That will be the way to prevent them from doing averus. Toshma. And now the Gemara connects this question that we've been learning throughout our shir to our sugya, because the question is, of course, how did this come into our Gemara, this whole discussion about ketanim? Toshma shnei achim. If there are two brothers, echad bikeich v'echad cheresh, nesun l'shtei achis pichos. Meis cheresh ba'al pikachas. The cheresh who was married to the pikachas passed away. Mayasa bikeich ba'al pikachas. What are the obligations of the on the pikeich ba'al pikachas? The loch is there are no obligation. Teitzei, because his brother, the cheresh's wife, is an achis isha to him, and of course there is no chiv yibim machalitza by an achis isha. But on the other hand, says the Mishnah, Meis pikeach ba bikachas, Mayasa cheresh ba bikachas, Meitzis ishto v'ger, he has to divorce his wife, because his wife is achos gukosoi. Veishis achiv, and his brother's wife is suril oilam. He is also asur, because he can't do yibim with her, because she's achos gukosoi. She is the sister of the man, of the woman whom he divorced, and he can't do chalitza, because as we've learned a number of times, many times in our Masechta, a cheresh is not an individual who could do chalitza. Ask the Gemara, but my mitzvah is to be good. Why does he have to get divorced? Teisiv gabei, katan eichel nevelsu. A cheresh is like a katan. He's not mechuyev a mitzvah. So why do we have to stop him from living with his wife? Answer the Gemara, he's not our concern. Our concern is Mishum Isuru Dado, that she's a pikachas who's not allowed to be married because she's an achos zukukosai. Toshma, Mishnah talked about Shnei Achim Pekichim, Nusun Shtei Achios, Achis Pikachas, v'achas chareshes. The kedusha with the bikachas is a kedusha deraisa. The kedusha with the chareshes is a kedusha derabonim. Meis pikeich bal chareshes, meyasu pikeich bal pikachas. What does the pikeich bal pikachas do? He can't teitzei. There is no chiyuv of yibum because she's an achos isha. On the other hand, meis pikeich bal pikachas, meyasu pikeich bal pikachas. Moitzes ishta beget. He has to divorce his wife because she's a chos to kukosoi. Veishes achiv, he does chalitza. She is a candidate for chalitza because he is a pikeach. And she's a pikachas. Yibum he can't do because she's a chos kushosoi, he should do chalitza. But the question is, am I moitzes ishta beget? What does he have to divorce his wife, the chareshes, teisa vagabei? Isn't she a katan eichon nevelis? Answers the Gemara, b'shemesur the day. She doesn't have an Aveira. She's a Chareshes. But we need to be concerned that he's not allowed to live with her. Om Rav Toshma. Shnei Achim. Echad Cheresh v'echad Bikeach Nesum Shtei Achyes. Achs Bikachas. The Bikeach is married to the Bikachas. And the Cheresh is married to the Chareshes. Meis Cheresh Baal Chareshes. Meis Bikeach Baal Bikachas. There's nothing he has to do. Because she's an Achos Isha to him. Teitze Mechshem Achos Isha. Meis pikeach baal pikachas, mayasa cheresh baal kecheresh, moitzes eshta beget, because she's a choysu kukosoi, veishes ochav asur laabma. Why is there issa yibum? Because there is no, she's an achoys grushosoi, and he can't do chalitza because he's a cheresh. Says the Gemara v'hocha, but if we're going to leave the cheresh with the chereshes, so they're both charoshim. If they're both charoshim, the lavi sur the doika, the lavi sur the deika. They're both not mechuyi v'mitzvahs. They're both charoshim, v'ktani, and still the mishta taught us mitzi is ishta beget. He has to get divorced, and we don't allow them to remain in married, even though they're charoshim. And it says the Gemara, Amr Shmaya, our mishta is a special rule. Why we're machmer? Gzeira mishum hatar shivam l'shok. People will see them living together. They won't understand why we're allowing them to remain together. And they're going to assume that the nesuin of a cherish to the cherushes are, even though it's only a nesuin derabonon, have the ability to override a zika deraisa, which of course, as we've learned many times, is incorrect. So in order to avoid that type of a misimpression, that's why Chazal said. So Agamar says that Agamar has taught us that we're not allowed to give a child to do an isser, do an isser, but the halacha is, and there's machlokes rishonim, if that isser, to not allow a child to do an isser, is an isser deraisa, that's the opinion of the Ritva. The Prima Gadim says that the opinion of the Tor is that it's only, that the isser to not give a child an isser is an isser derabonim. The nafkamina would be when we're saying that we're not allowed to make a child do an isser, is that only not allowing a child, not cause a child to do an isser deraisa, or we are not allowed to do cause a child even to do an isser derabonim? And it'll be very much connected. If we say that the isser of sphia, the isser of giving a child to do an isser deraisa, so then we would have to presumably be machmer, even on not causing a child to do an isser derabonim. But if we say that the isser of sphia biyadayim, the isser of causing a child to do an isser, is only an isser derabonim, so since we're only starting with an isser derabonim, it may be that the isser of sphia biyadayim is only by an isser deraisa, but where it's an isser derabonim, so we have two derabonims. Number one, the entire issa of sphia biyadayim is only an issa derabonon. And number two, we're talking about giving them a derabonon. Maybe we could be more lenient. Hanrulach cheresh, hanrulach cheresh, hanrulach cheresh. Says the Mishnah, Shol chi balim din sayam, a woman who she and her husband traveled over the sea. And we're living in a situation of shalom beinoy lebeino. We have no reason to assume anything, any ulterior motives between this husband and wife. They lived in harmony. V'shalom ba'olam. And there's no special mechom in the world. Above Amar Meispali, and she comes home and she says, my husband passed away. Tenosei, she is allowed to get married. Mais Bali, if she says that my husband died and she's a candidate for Yibum, the halacha is we trust her and she has Yibum. Shalom Bein Ol Bein Ol. But says the Mishnah, if there's a situation where there's peace between her, him and her, but it's a time of Muhammad Olam, and that's why if she's saying that her husband died, it's not because she could say it with certainty. She's only saying it because we need to be concerned that she's saying it because she assumed that in this terrible time of Muhammad Olam, her husband died. Or it's a situation, there is no shalom bias between the husband and wife. Even if it's a time of shalom ba'olam, because here we have to be concerned that what she's saying is not true. We never trust her. Only if she comes crying, and her clothing are torn. Then we have very much a compelling proof that indeed her husband died. And the Chum disagree, Amalai, and the Chum say, Achazu v'achazel, in both situations, Tinase, these outside symptoms are not relevant. Tana, says the Gemara, Shalom Beina Lebeina, says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, that we don't have to know for sure that they lived in peace. If we don't know differently, that's good enough. So why did the Mishnah have to say, says the Braisa, specifically that there was Shalom Bein Ol Bein Ol? Answers the Gemara, that when this couple wasn't living in harmony, so the halacha changes. That's why in the Reish we said Shalom. And similarly, Tana Shalom Ba'olam, we don't have to have specifically a case of Shalom Ba'olam. As long as there's no war, the halacha, it's good enough. But because we're in the Sefer, we're going to speak about Shum the Kabbalah Mishnah the Sefer Muhammad Ba'olam. That's why in the Reish we said Shalom Ba'olam. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, my Tama B'Muhammad, why when there's war in the world do we not trust her? Because then we need to be concerned. Shum the Amar B'Dami, what she's saying is not something that she knows with certainty. Sakadatach, because she's thinking, because Hani the Ikdal, there were so many people that were killed in the war who Pollet, and he didn't get killed. And that's why when she says, my husband is dead, we can't assume that it's certainly that was the case. Imtim Tzolaymer, and if we'll say, Kiv Neshalom Beino Lebeino, this couple lives in harmony, Ad Natra At Techazia, certainly she wouldn't have abandoned her husband and wouldn't say that he's dead until she absolutely saw him dead. Zimnim, the Machalai Begira Bermamcha, sometimes he was attacked. The Savra of Adamais, and she thinks he's certainly dead. Ika the Ovitz Damtri Vichaya, and she thinks that, and that's why she says it, even though she's not certain. But sometimes, says the Gemara, Ika the Ovitz Damtri, even though she thinks he was so mortally wounded, sometimes they could heal him and it'll be fine. Savra Mema, Savra Ravel Mema, Ravin, of time of hunger, Enikal Machama, Deloy Amra Bidami, by war, a woman will say something even though she's not certain, but not by hunger. Hadam Rava, Rava Narei Kumachama. Deid Asla Kameh de Rava. There was a woman that came to Rava. Amrele Bali Meis Barav. My husband died in hunger. Amrele Shapa the Avdat. She said to her, you did the right thing, the Shizif Nafshech, that you tried to escape and save yourself. Salkadatak Bahu Purta, the fists of the Shakslay of Chai, do you think with the little flour that you had, you could have helped him survive? Amalei, and the woman said to him, Man Nodi, Man Nami Yodad Kayav Gavn Lachai, I see that you agree with me that he did couldn't have survived. So why did Rava see? What did Rava see from here? That even though she said he's dead, he wasn't really dead. She didn't see him dead. Hadama Rava. And then Rava said, Ravan Griya Mechama. We even have to be more concerned that in a time of hunger, what she's saying is not with certainty. Dila Mechama, Kamer Meis Baal Mechama, Hu Deloi Mehemna, that's when she's not believed. Ava Meis Metasai, but saying that he died during a wartime, but he died at home, then she would be believed. Gaba Ravan, but when it comes to hunger, there at the Amra, until she absolutely says meis v'kvartiv, where there's no question that what she's saying is not 100% accurate, do we not believe her? Mapilus, if a house rubble fell on a person. Harei k'mechama, says the Gemara, that's like a mechama, because people think that you can't, that's not a case where, again, she's saying something with absolute certainty. Shaluch nechashim v'krabim, harei k'mechama, also in a time of dangerous snakes, because again, she says b'dami. Dever, if there's a pandemic, amalei rei k'mechama, v'amalei ena k'mechama. Amrei k'mechama, dami v'dami. She assumes that he died. When she's saying it, she's not actually saying it with a certainty. And amrei ena k'mechama. The samchi adamri inshi, she relies on what people say. Shev shnin have a meisna. There was a pandemic for 7 years. V'inish b'loi shani lo yezol. She realizes that just because there's a pandemic doesn't mean that people will die. Baruch Hashem, many people survive the pandemic. And therefore, if she comes and says that her husband died in a pandemic, we are certain that what she's saying is because of she knows that he died, and she's not just saying it based on the probability, because there is no necessity that there's a probability that people will die in a pandemic.